So on the phone with me now, I've got Jason Snell. He's the editor of Macworld magazine. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, I believe you've heard him before. We're glad to have him back. Jason, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
So in situations like this, when the Apple tablet, whatever, is just around the corner, so tantalizingly close, do journalists at a place like Macworld, I mean, has everybody just sort of turned into fanboy mode, or what's it like around there?
I think we're actually more frustrated than anything else, because there's been so much talk about this product, but yet, as far as I can tell, almost nothing in the way of facts. There are rumors aplenty, mm-hmm. but there's more speculation than rumor, and very precious little in terms of even things that might be possibly slightly factual. So there's a lot of excitement, but at this point, nobody knows anything about it. So
it's a very interesting situation, because we're not talking about something that's months and months away. I mean, people have been speculating about an Apple tablet computer for a long time, but this now is March. That's really close. So I guess you can imagine why people are freaking out a bit.
Well, even that date, I mean, it being announced in January and released in March is one thing that I've heard. I've also heard, you know, and I personally would expect that it wouldn't be out until more like June, like the iPhone, which was announced in January and was released in late June. So I'm not even sure that is a fact that we can be comfortable with. So it's, you know, there's we don't know a lot. It's sort of it's in this state of grace where it can be anything you want it to be.
And how much do we trust the Wall Street Journal and their sources to, in this case, perhaps?
Right.
They've got the frenzy whipped up. Do you have any idea what this is going to be called?
No, there are a bunch of different reports out there. A lot of people, the Mac Rumors website, macrumors.com, wrote a piece that said that Apple had bought iSlate.com and a trademark, but they had done that in 2007, I think. So it's one of those things where if that's the name, and a bunch of people have run with it and said that's the name, well, if that's the name, they decided on it years ago, and I don't know, I'm a little skeptical that anything, I think they were just grabbing names that they might possibly use one day.
Is that a
so
good
we really
name?
Really don't know. My money, and this is not, I wouldn't place a bet on this, but my money's actually on them bringing back the iBook name, which they retired a few years ago, but nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure.
What, if anything, are some concrete details we do know about it? I mean, we know that we know that it would be a tablet device, for example, which means what for the uninitiated?
Right. I'm not sure if we know anything concrete, but I mean, the general feeling is that there's it's a device that is not your traditional laptop device. It doesn't have a physical keyboard and fold over and things like that. That's generally the feeling. So it's more like an iPhone or an iPod Touch, except bigger. So really, it's this device that falls in between the iPhone, which is a completely, you know, pocketable touch screen device, but it's smaller, and you wouldn't do it for, you know, there's certain tasks where that small screen kind of falls short, including, you know, reading. That's a good example, is reading stuff or looking at videos. You could have a bigger picture.
And there are pictures of it out there, which I presume for the most part are hypothetical mock-ups, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, kind of like a color Kindle that does a lot more, just physically.
The way I've been thinking of it, I think the best way for people to think about it is that it's, imagine a bigger iPhone. I mean, I think really, when it comes down to it, the product that's going to be closest to it is not the Kindle so much, although maybe the Kindle size, but it just think of an iPhone that's bigger, that's not thicker, that maybe even thinner, but that's bigger, a much larger, a 10-inch diagonal screen on something that otherwise is kind of like an iPhone. I think that's the most likely scenario here.
And then picture people putting a strap on the back and holding it up to their head.
Well, yeah,
you'll have.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the big
sort of
questions
weird
with
idea.
A device like this is the iPhone works because you can hold it in your hand and then use your other hand to control it. If you've got a bigger device, how does that work? Do you put it on your lap? Do you hold it with one hand? Is it going to be too heavy? Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of questions about how, you know, because you can't just scale up an iPhone. And so what's Apple doing to address those kind of issues? And that's where all the speculation starts to come in.
I'm not a huge Mac guy, but I could not avoid how much excitement there's been for a long time now about this tablet from Apple idea. And as best as you understand it, why is this such a potent concept?
Well, in some ways, I think it's a potent concept because it's not a potent concept. That Microsoft tried this years ago and failed. Bill Gates at one point declared that the tablet PC was going to be a wave of the future and replace laptops, and it didn't happen. So in some ways, I think there's intrigue about Apple taking a swing at this category, because Apple, in the last 10 years, one thing that we've really learned about Apple is Apple doesn't enter a category until it's got a product that it thinks will sell, which is a very different thing than Microsoft and many of its partners, where they are driven by technology and they say, hey, we can make a touchscreen, keyboardless laptop, so let's make it and see if anyone will buy it. Apple doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. Apple has had lots of things percolating in their labs for years. We had phone rumors from Apple for years before the iPhone came out. But they don't release those products until they feel like it'll actually sell, that it'll actually be a successful product and change how people view certain areas of technology. So for Apple to be seriously considering entering the tablet market, I think that makes a lot of people intrigued, because it hasn't been a success. And then they look at what Apple's doing and say, wow, maybe Apple's figured it out. And then if Apple figures it out, then you'll see a wave of people trying to do what Apple has figured out for themselves, too. So it has a chance to reinvigorate that category that's basically been a flop.
So they must believe that, like with smartphones, that by introducing a device they really believe in, they will change the way people use technology.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's just, if you follow that iPhone model or even the iPod, that there were products that did that before, but Apple kind of figured out something about how people should use them, and that changed how people viewed the category.
So what's the scenario here with a tablet that you can imagine? How does this change the way that we compute, the way the iPhone changed the way we view our phones?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? I mean, that if I knew that, I should probably apply for a job at Apple, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what everybody wants to know. Is it reading? I mean, that's one of the things that people have been talking about, is magazines and newspapers and books and things like that being kind of like a Kindle. I don't think that is it unto itself, but if you think about the apps that are available for the iPhone, imagine that kind of thought process on a device like this, where you can read books and newspapers and magazines and surf the web and watch videos at maybe, maybe HD resolution.
And play piano, apparently, according to the most popular images of it that are
well, sure. You know, so you start to have this kind of accretion of different things that it can do. I still kind of feel like it's got to have a real kind of killer application, really. I mean, literally, it's got to have something that is the thing that ticks you over the edge and makes you want to buy it. And if it's just sort of, well, you don't really need a laptop because you can surf the web on this and it's got a nice screen, that it might work. But I think that the Apple will come out with a very specific focus. They'll say, look, these are the things that it does. It does this and this and this. Like when the iPhone came out and they said it's an internet communicator and a phone and a media player all in one, I expect that kind of a vision from Apple when they roll this product out. But the power of the App Store, I think, really, if there's a version of the App Store that runs on a device like this, that's where you're going to really see it, its potential fulfilled, which is it'll do anything that people can think of.
Do you believe, as skeptical as you need to be, I guess, as the editor of Macworld, do you believe that Apple most likely has the golden touch here again, and that this will not be a turkey?
I think that this is a tougher sell than the iPhone, certainly. I think you could look at the phone market and say that it was ripe for innovation, because it was a market that was, in existence, and everybody had cell phones, and smartphones were out there, but they weren't very good. And you could see Apple sort of applying its touch to it. And in this market, it's a little bit harder, because everybody has a phone. And unless Apple's really saying you don't need a laptop anymore, which they might, it's hard to pick it out. People don't have a tablet. Is Apple trying to sort of insert this new product in that you don't have anything like it, but you're going to buy this? That's a whole lot harder a sell to people than you're replacing something else. So, I think Apple's got great discipline, and that they wouldn't come out with this product unless they thought it would be a success. But I do think it's a tougher row to hoe than the iPhone was. Hmm.
And are they going to sell like some sort of giant holster?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, the Kindle, comes. You can buy a case for it, a little leather case, and they'll have designer versions. And I would imagine so, but I doubt it'll be something that it's not something you'll put in your pocket. You'll either sling it over your shoulder, or you'll put it in a bag, or you'll carry it wherever you go. It's it's different, and I think that's part of their challenge, is that it's going to be bigger and harder to hold and harder to interact with. And how do they solve those problems? They've been working on it for years, presumably. So for them to come out with a product, I would guess that they've solved it, but we don't know how. And that's sort of the excitement about finally hearing about this much rumored product, is how did they solve these issues? What's their story? Why does anybody want one? If they can figure that one out, they'll sell a lot of them.
And as if things couldn't get more exciting this week, we've got this Google phone thing, and not a Mac product, of course, but just to ask you quickly, which is the bigger deal, you think? Google's got its own phone, or Apple's got a tablet PC?
Well, you know, the Nexus One, the Google phone, it's an Android phone. It's not a different product. It's a little bit better than the Droid in many ways, mm-hmm. but it's just another Android phone. It may be from Google, but I don't think it really changes the game very much. It would be like doing a new version of the iPhone.
It would be like, oh, it's a new iPhone.
Okay. Yeah. Which is not the same as Apple coming up with a completely brand new product. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw my weight behind the Apple announcement if it happens. mostly because I think the Google phone announcement is kind of a disappointment. It's not really a huge story. It's just another Android phone.
Hmm. One last question for you. Do you believe that Apple loves this frenzy? I mean, everybody's so frustrated about what's real, what's not. Is this just exactly how they want these things to play out?
Apple's done a really good job of using, you know, it's the opposite of Microsoft, right? Microsoft always announces things way in advance because they want everybody to know and their competitors to be scared.
Mm-hmm. And consumers to be disappointed.
Yeah, well, that's the side effect. Apple goes the reverse route, which is Apple tries to keep it all secret because then all the suspense builds up. Now, the problem with that is that everybody has their own dream of what it's going to be, and some people are going to be disappointed. But generally, you know, Apple has benefited from the secrecy and the speculation more, I think, than it's been hurt by it. So, I think they love it. I think they love it, and they put a lot of effort into keeping a secret, and they silo different development teams within Apple. So you can even talk to an Apple employee, and they won't be able to tell you anything, because it's not just people at Apple. It's like small group inside part of Apple mm-hmm. who actually is working on the product. And they do that for a reason. They want to keep it a secret. They know that making a big splash and having everybody talk about what they're doing, that's their shtick. I mean, it works for them. It's like innovation happening live on stage, and what you don't get to see that. Science and technology, those are laborious, slow kind of engineering processes. It's not a game show. It's not a movie or theater. But Apple turns it into theater, and it works really well for them. So they love it.
Fun to talk with you again, Jason. I look forward to next time.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.